Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. It's driver ratings time. It's time to either slander or praise the 20 Formula One drivers on the grid. No in-betweens. And we've had some time to digest this strategy-filled Japanese Grand Prix, haven't we, Tommy? But how are you feeling, Tommy? Are you feeling good? Ready for another batch of ratings to go in?
Yeah, it's going to be good. I can't believe you said potentially slander. I mean, I never slander people. They don't know what you're about.
I feel like, especially on YouTube, I've seen pretty much every single week for the last few, just like a top comment being, God, I love Thomas Savage Tommy.
It's my old age.
Just going
I've literally just become a grumpy parent. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, and I like it.
Okay.
It's cool. Right, let's get into the F1 driver ratings for the Japanese Grand Prix and begin with Kevin Magnussen. Qualified 18th, started 18th, finished 13th. It's going to be a whopping 5 out of 10 for me, for K-Mag. Gained a few positions at the beginning. Having a bit of complain, wasn't he, about Bottas? And I just feel as though it was a race that was very much more K-Mag than perhaps we've seen this year. Nothing special, slower than Hülkenberg. If you also consider, and I will obviously bring this up in for Hülkenberg as well, that Hulk literally went into anti-stall and dropped down to P17 at one point. So he was ahead of his teammate and still didn't manage to beat him and actually got comprehensively beaten by Hulk in the end. So it's a 5 out of 10 for me.
I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Kevin Magnussen as well. 13th place last year. You know, that's a 10 out of 10 for a Haas, but it's a much they're doing a lot better this year. Surprised, kind of like you said, about much more of a Kevin Magnussen performance. We kind of saw the trend that we saw last year where Magnussen, you know, down in 18th in qualifying, whereas Hülkenberg, a brilliant 12th. So, yeah, a good 13th is actually like a decent enough result, but I think could have been more for him, and especially when you're that far behind your teammate.
He did do the one stop, obviously, which is something to keep a little bit of an eye on, because of course that is a Haas doing a one stop, which is something we never thought we'd ever see. He went from the mediums to the hards. Hülkenberg did soft, hard, and I think that was definitely the better strategy as well for Nico. But still, you have to judge it on the performance and how far he finished away from his teammate. And I think he ended up, a good sort of 15 seconds or so. Actually, 12 seconds behind his teammate at the end. Okay, the fans gave K-Mag a 5 out of 10 as well. Nico Hülkenberg qualified 12th, started 12th, finished 11th.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Nico Hülkenberg. Good qualifying. 11th is a respectable finish. Said it so many times, say it every single podcast about it's very difficult to get into that top 10. We've got, it feels almost even more extreme. We're almost going back to your 2018, I want to say, where it's an absolute chasm between the top cars and the gap is around 50 odd seconds. I know it's more extreme on a track like Suzuka, where it's all about downforce and the top teams really rise to the top there. Well, all but one driver, but we'll get into him later. And it's decent drive from Hülkenberg. Good start to the season for Haas. And it's a shame that there's not more points on offer, because Haas are delivering some good results.
They certainly are. I've also gone for a 7 out of 10 for Nico Hülkenberg. Of course, he did go into anti-stall, which he found confusing. So I'm going to give Nico Hülkenberg the benefit of the doubt that he didn't just slip the clutch a little bit too much and It turned on certain things within the car. I think that it was a great result for Haas. Obviously, nothing coming from it, because they have scored points. They're not jostling around on 0 points trying to get the best finish that isn't in the points, even though That's what we expected from them this year. So 11th is, as you say, a great performance, not too far away from Yuki Tsunoda. And I would say a solidly decent run from Nico Hülkenberg. So yeah, 7 out of 10, very worthy. And the fans gave him a 6. Not happy. Not happy at all, are they, with Nico Hülkenberg? Zhou Guanyu, qualified 20th, started 20th, did not finish. I'm going to go for a 3 out of 10 for Zhou this time. I know there are some Zhou fanboys out there that want to let us know about everything that went on. Some claiming that Zhou did absolutely no running in FP3 and that's why he should be let off in qualifying when, in fact, he did 16 laps in FP3. And it's quite wild to see some of the claims that people make. But it was a poor weekend for Zhou. Again, hit the team still displaying how not to do a pit stop at all times. Just that I've never seen a team struggle this much with pit stops. And that's coming from a Ferrari fan. Like, that is, what are they doing? I know that at one point they had like a 4-second pit stop and we all sat there and gasped. We thought, oh, wow, 4 seconds. That was, of course, for Bottas, I think, who still managed to lose 4 positions, I think, with that 4-second pit stop. But for Zhou, qualifying last, showing no real pace and then having to retire the car, I can't give him any higher than a 3.
No, I've gone for a 3 out of 10 for Zhou Guanyu as well. It was a disappointing weekend. Obviously, the retirement's not his fault, but he didn't seem to have any pace. I think is it not the third race in a row where he has been P20 in qualifying? And yeah, he's just really on a bad run of form at the moment, which hopefully he turns around because it's his home race next time out. But yeah, for whatever reason, Joe's not having a good time of it compared to his teammate, which we've said before. You know, he's in the twilight of his career, and if you're a young driver coming into the sport and you really want to prove yourself and move up the grid, you need to be beating Valtteri Bottas in his sort of party Australian era.
You do. You absolutely do. So for Zhou, needs to pick it up, I think, drastically. Otherwise, I feel like he gets under the radar, I think, of anything regarding driver transfers, just purely because nobody really wants to look at that Stake F1 team at the moment because they're just languishing at the back and they don't really get any sort of headlines apart from the longest pit stops of every weekend. The fans gave Zhou a 3. Nearly forgot to say that. So we're all agreed. Valtteri Bottas now, qualified 13th, started 13th, finished 14th.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Bottas. I think it was a good weekend from him again. Qualified a respectable 13th when, you know, his teammates down in last. And he was running, you know, challenging for points in that amazing battle. But unfortunately for Bottas, it was a pit stop battle. So he was always going to lose it. And despite Stake probably doing the best pit stop they've done all year, it managed to lose him about 4 positions because everyone else...
You just imagine them all just high-fiving like, yes, God, we got the car out! And then looking up and just realising they've still lost all those positions.
It's funny how everyone, like in Formula One, you do, you know, the undercut and things like that. It's going to get to the point, and it kind of happened in this, where teams just go, oh, we're stuck behind a Stake. Just pit when they do, we'll get them in the pits. And then they just overtake him that way because, yeah, the team are letting Bottas down at the moment because they think he's doing a good job.
For Valtteri Bottas, I have gone for a 7 out of 10 as well, actually. We're chefing with agreement right now, Tommy, which is not what people want to hear. But I feel genuinely sorry for Bottas. I think he should have been Yuki Tsunoda this weekend. I think he was showing great pace. 13th was a great result, as you say, in qualifying. And it was just the team that let him down. Slow pit stops, getting stuck in traffic with that multi-car pit stop. Like, that was the crucial point. Whoever came out on top of that 5-car pit stop battle obviously had the best chance of scoring that point that Lance Stroll was apparently wanting to give away to one of the slower teams. And yeah, it was actually really quite refreshing to see Bottas back in the mix and not just languishing at the back in that horrendous car. And it has to be said, I'm hoping to see more of it So well done, Bottas, 7 out of 10. And the fans gave him a 6. Yuki Tsunoda now qualified 10th, started 10th, finished 10th. And he is getting a 10 out of 10. Congratulations, Yuki Tsunoda. What more? What more can he do? Makes Q3. Gets a little bit shafted, has to be said. But then VCAR gave it right back to him and said, here's an amazing pit stop. And that allowed him to, I think, take P11 at the time. And then Hülkenberg was still out on track and eventually took P10. And then to hold off Lance Stroll, one of the greatest drivers we've ever seen in our generation, is, quite frankly, 10 out of 10 is not even enough to really sort of reflect what Yuki Tsunoda pulled off in that race. So, no, I am going to give him a perfect score because he won Formula B. And if that is Max Verstappen, he's also getting a 10. So well done, Yuki. GGs. You're going to give him a 9, but you're now wondering whether you should give him a 10. I can see it on your face. It's written all over.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's getting a 9 out of 10 for me. I don't think it's as good as his drive in Australia. I think, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a brilliant drive. And I can't believe me as the Yuki fanboy here is the one that's giving him a lower grade. But
all that pressure, home race, all the adoring fans bearing down on
him. It was a good drive. It was a very good drive, but 10 is like absolute perfection, right? And 10 is oh my God, 10 is a P7 beating Fernando Alonso, which is exactly what he did in the last race. This was like...
But didn't we have two retirements?
I was saying he beat Alonso, though, is what I'm saying, like on the track. Whereas
true. All right. Still beating Aston Martin. I mean, Lance Stroll, Fernando Alonso, comparable.
Oh, yes, definitely. And don't get me wrong, yeah, he put in some great overtakes, but I have to think that, you know, I've got to save 10s for where he's got a 9 is like you've got the best out of the car and done a great job, and then at the 10 is like, oh my God, what a superb drive, and that for me was like what he did last week was the better version of it. So it's a high 9, but it's not a 10.
Oh,
and we can't give. That's illegal. Yeah, sorry, it's not a perfect 10 for me.
Okay, well, I thought it was a good enough performance in order to still. It's a low 10 from me. The fans gave him a 10.
Wow, I'm a hater, aren't I? Yuki hater.
You are a Yuki hater. Unbelievable. I can understand because, of course, he had a bit of a bad launch at the beginning, which. Meant he dropped a few positions, didn't he? But then,
and the reason he
absolutely,
he made overtakes and stuff. And I just think, like, the pit stop, which is at the end of the day is the team's thing, if that had gone the other way, he could have been 14th. And, like you say, like Bottas could have been 10th, and it wasn't his fault. And we're giving him a 7, so it's just kind of like, I don't know.
But think about that restart and how he made up 3 positions right at the
beginning.
It was
beautiful.
Like, that was juicy.
It was high 9 worthy.
From Tsunoda. Fair enough. Daniel Ricciardo, qualified 11th, started 11th, finished in the wall.
Ouch. Gone for a 3 out of 10 for Daniel Ricciardo. He actually qualified pretty well. I know a lot of people were beating him up after Saturday because he finished behind Tsunoda again. He's got knocked out when Tsunoda's got through, but there was not that much between him, and Daniel didn't actually do... the Friday. So the thing, or like significant running on the Friday, because it obviously rained in FP2 and he was out in FP1 because of Iwasa. So he just needed a solid race and not the worst error in the world, but still one that is his fault. It's not penalty and grid drop worthy, like we said in the race review, but it's still a misjudgment from him at the start of the race when all cars are very close, and it's just putting even more pressure on him through a bad spell.
It certainly is. I've also gone for a 3 out of 10 for Daniel Ricciardo. It's sad. It was sad to see just a misjudgment. It is definitely more him to blame for it. Without his movement, they're not crashing. Alex Albon, of course, put his car in a slightly risky position, but he's allowed to do that. It's Grand Prix racing. Daniel Ricciardo, I think, you know, even the stewards admitted that had it not been on the first lap, then he would have probably got, well, they didn't say who, but it's obviously going to be Daniel that would have got a penalty. So it's just such a shame, because he qualified well, right up there with Yuki, 10th and 11th. Not that they would have been able to score any more points, because the top nine were in another dimension. But he just needed a nice, solid race, and that did not happen. So it's unfortunate for him. And the fans gave Daniel Ricciardo a 3 as well. Logan Sargeant qualified 19th, started 19th, finished 17th. Gone for a 3 out of 10 for Logan Sargeant. Might feel slightly harsh, but at the end of the day, this man has crashed in free practice, obliterated his car so that he couldn't run at all in Friday. Not that it really mattered at the end of the day, because FP2 was a washout anyway. So he kind of got away with it in some ways through that. But then showing glimpses of hope, then making a fatal error that going off at Degner 2, that has to have a big effect on one's grade, because he was running in an all right position, wasn't going to score points. But still, it was Logan's not taken any headlines. He's just gone round the track for 50-odd laps and finished the race. But then he ended up in the gravel and finished last of the runners. So it's a 3.
I've gone for a 2 out of 10 for Logan Sargeant. One more harsh, harshly.
Okay.
His drive in the race itself, he was doing all right at stages. It looked like at the start and the restarts that he was staying out of trouble. I don't know if it generally was a bad start or if he was doing something that I think maybe a few of us have done before on open lobby Formula One games, where they just roll into turn one quite slowly and let the pack do their thing and just think, I do not want to make a mess here.
Well, he didn't want that smoke, and then all of a sudden he started overtaking Zhou Guanyu, I believe.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It was almost like, I'm going to take this easy. Oh, turn one, let's start.
But then another mistake in the race. How many mistakes is he going to have? So his race is, you know, probably like a 4 out of 10 or something, and then he gets a couple of points knocked off for that FP1 smash, which is just inexcusable, really. It was very harsh on Albon for his in Australia, and it's the same for this, that they know the situation they're in at the moment. Take it easy. Don't, you know, the last, that is literally the one thing they didn't need. They'd have rather him not even got any significant running and just pootled around and did 2 minute lap times would have been better than what he did in FP1. And unfortunately, they've smashed up another car. It's costing them a fortune. And not good.
Do you not think he deserves a little cheeky extra point for the incredible clutch control in the gravel to get that car out?
No.
Okay. Fans gave Logan a 4 out of 10, so feeling a lot more generous. Alex Albon qualified 14th, started 14th, did not finish.
Gone for a 5 out of 10 for Alex Albon. Difficult one to grade.
Tell me about turn one. How did you assess?
I assessed it.
A beautiful 5.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I do think Albon, though, and the reason, you know, he's qualified all right, but I do think while it was Daniel Ricciardo's fault, it was maybe slightly brave of him, knowing Williams' situations, to stick his nose in there, that when it could have happened, it wasn't his fault, but it's still a bold thing to do when Williams don't have the best of times with car parts and chassis and things at the moment, and they are going through their budget cap very quickly this year, and there's all the memes about you know, what their car's going to look like if they have a car by the end of the season. But genuinely, if they carry on smashing up their car every weekend, they might not even get to the final races and be able to race, surely, because they're going to run out of money.
Yes, not that they will struggle with money due to their Doralton capital things, and Williams aren't struggling financially, but more on the cost cap budget side. And also, as James Fowles mentioned, around their whole process is being quite archaic and them not being able to actually have all of these spare parts. So I do wonder just exactly how well repaired those two cars will be in China and moving forward. And fingers crossed they just have a clean weekend next time out. The fans gave Alex a 5. Esteban Ocon qualified 15th, started 15th, finished 15th. And it is a 5 out of 10 for Esteban Ocon. My goodness gracious me, Alpine. They've got a slow enough car as it is, and they thought, no, let's make contact at the start between the two Alpines. That's the way to make things even better. Because, of course, I think Ocon picked up a bit of damage, and Gasly did as well, picking up a bit of floor damage from that bump from Esteban. And they were just... it's not any lower than a 5, because I've begun to really soak in the fact that they are genuinely one of the worst teams on the grid. And it doesn't look like it's going to change. It's got worse. They brought upgrades and they've got worse. What more is there to say? Ocon beat Gasly, but I think Gasly had a bit more of an ailment with his floor compared to what Ocon was having to deal with. So just fully depressing, really, for Alpine.
It is very depressing. I've gone for a 6 out of 10 for Esteban Ocon.
Cooking.
Again, I feel like he's the more comfortable, like he's doing a better job than Gasly this year, and did so again in qualifying. Of course, Gasly had damage in the race, but Ocon was doing some nice moves during the race. I think he did like 13 overtakes or something, which is quite impressive.
13 overtakes and finished 15th. Yeah. That is ridiculous.
Which just shows that
he started where he finished and he overtook 13
whilst
times.
Other cars were like DNFing. It just shows that, yeah, it's not good for Alpine. I do believe that he is just getting as much as he can out of the car, and it must be pretty, it must be very, very depressing to think that only a few years ago he was, challenging and getting podiums, won a race, albeit quite a fortunate one, but still, like, he was doing a more towards the front, and now they do seem like genuinely the team that are last. And when it's bad when you get a radio message going, you need to push, and he's like, well, I am.
that's crazy. Imagine if Alonso was still there. Imagine if Fernando was still at Alpine. And
no chance. He always makes great career moves. That. He just knew.
Ooh, Frank liked that banter. Love that. Let's now say that the fans gave Ocon a 5 as well. Nearly forgot to say that. Pierre Gasly qualified 17th, started 17th, finished 16th.
It's a 5 out of 10 for Gasly. The worst of the Alpines. Not much to say. Pretty quiet race. He looked like the slowest driver on earth, but we know that it was a bit of damage as well as a terrible Alpine. But boy, did it look like it wasn't moving sometimes. I think you mentioned in the race review that it was like a mobile chicane, and it genuinely was.
Yes, I'm going to give a 5 for Pierre as well. I know he finished 13 seconds behind his teammate, but you could visibly see that car was an absolute tractor with that damage on. So I'm not going to take any points away from Pierre due to that, because it did seem like he was really struggling out there, and I genuinely feel sorry for him, so he can have a 5. And the fans gave him a 5 as well.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea, with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
All right, everybody, put your seatbelts on. It's Slander Tommy time. Lance Stroll. Well, no, not Slander Tommy. Tommy Slander time.
Can do if you want.
Lance Stroll. Qualified 16th, started 16th, finished 12th. Oh, goodness gracious me. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I was going to give him that, but then am I going to give him that instead? Okay. No, yeah, he's getting it. He's absolutely getting it. Lance Stroll, 2 out of 10. That was one of the worst drives I have seen Lance do. He finished a whopping 1 minute, pretty much, behind his teammate. What? 60 Great British seconds and every other country seconds. It was... What is he doing? How has he managed to get himself into Formula B? Horrendous qualifying. The pace wasn't great. And for those people that have... Because I put a tweet out about how has Lance not only not caught Tsunoda on softs, but lost a position to Hülkenberg. And people are coming to his defence. Well, the Aston's actually pretty terrible on its tyres. Did anyone see Fernando Alonso's stint at the start on the soft tyres on heavy fuel? Full fuel?
That's good things.
Lance Stroll whacked him on with, 18 or so laps to go. On softs, the fuel much lower, and bro could not beat Yuki Tsunoda for the final point. That is absolutely unforgivable. So, 2 out of 10. Sorry, Lance Stroll fans, if there are any listening. It's a 2.
Yeah, I've gone for 2 out of 10 for Stroll as well. His qualifying, again, terrible. Fernando Alonso is P5. One thing we complain about in Formula One at the moment, and a driver can make that extra bit of difference, but we know how important a car is in Formula One. And a lot of the time in Formula One, and we did in this race, you saw Red Bull, Ferrari. And it can be a lot of the time 2x2, or at least they're very close. No other teammate pairing has such a chasm between them. And yes, that, you know, Fernando Alonso, in my opinion, is one of, if not the greatest driver of all time, in my opinion. But that...
I love how you said in my opinion twice then, just so Team LH don't come after you.
It's just opinion. But he is 42 years old now. He's beatable. Lance has been in Formula 1 for a very long time. The gap should not be that big. He should not be... Qualifying is a mess. It always has been. And I very much expected him to do his usual thing. I think I said it, didn't I? He's going to finish 10th and we're all going to praise him and go, oh, well done, he got back into the points. And I was going to say no, because he would still be last in the top teams and he's only beating Formula B. He didn't even beat Formula B. It's like watching the London Marathon and, you know, when the professional athletes go, and it would be like one of the professional athletes running with the guys in the like fancy dress costumes and like he's like competing against them.
Yuki Tsunoda and Nico Hülkenberg.
Their cars are like the chasm between the two, you know, it is literally like F1 and F2, the gap between that. And the fact that he's...
Or like when you watch Le Mans, LMP1 and LMP2.
It is like that. So the fact that he's not only racing them, he can't even beat them, and then he's losing positions at the end. It's just shocking. It is actually, like, it's embarrassing.
Oh, God, I love it when you pop off, honestly. It gets me going. The fans gave Lance Stroll a 3. Fernando Alonso, here we go. Qualified 5th, started 5th, finished 6th. Go on, Tommy, off you go.
So 15 out of 10 for Fernando. no, it's a 9 out of 10 for Fernando. I think it's a very good drive. I don't think the Aston Martin should be qualifying 5th. I don't think it's as quick as you know, the McLarens and things, and he was there and did a brilliant qualifying, got everything out of the car. He loves to say that it's, you know, the best drive of his career and all this kind of stuff, and took himself up. And I don't think it's like a flat out lie that he's saying that. I think Alonso is just one of those drivers that can get the best out of the car all the time, and I don't think you should downgrade him because he does that. Because it almost is like normal for him to be fifth in an Aston Martin where his teammate is racing Formula B. So yeah, it's a great performance. And then just, you know, little things again, like the way he was backing off to give Piastri the DRS, like Sainz did in Singapore. Just very smart driving. Yeah, just brilliant.
Big brain strats from Fernando. Yes, a 9 out of 10 from me as well. Just amazing to watch. As you say in the interviews, he'll say, "Yeah, we should have been 9th and 10th and that sort of stuff." And obviously, it was very close between Alonso, Russell, and Piastri and Hamilton at the end. So could have easily come out the other side of that, but didn't. And he's just always the anomaly. He's always just there, even if that Aston Martin is pretty terrible. Just throughout his career, he's always been able. He almost drives better when his car is rubbish.
Yeah,
I feel like it just unleashes the dog in Fernando, if I'm being completely honest with you. So yeah, great to watch. Piastri and Russell got fairly, if people were thinking the Australia one wasn't, but fairly sort of out strategized with the DRS usage and things like that. No brake checks this time, so it's a well done, Fernando. It's a 9 out of 10. And the fans gave Fernando an 8. Oscar Piastri qualified 6th, started 6th, finished 8th. It's a 7 out of 10 for Oscar Piastri. It was by no means as bad as the last time we went to Suzuka in comparison to his teammate, but still lacking, I would say, in the race and in qualifying, actually, this time around. I still think it's a 7 out of 10 worthy performance. Still decent. He's still there scoring points and mixing it with the other drivers for P6 at the end. But yeah, there's something about Japan that just doesn't click, I think, with Oscar at the moment. So it's a 7.
Yeah, I've gone for a 7 out of 10 as well. I think he's had a very good start to the season and been a little... I think he's taken a step forward. Maybe it is those circuits where there's a bit more tyre wear. He's still getting used to that in Formula One. And he's, yeah, not been anywhere near really Lando this weekend, when in the other races this year, he has been a lot closer and beaten him sometimes as well. This kind of felt more like rookie Oscar last year. But still, you know, a good performance. And yeah, he's just picking up solid points for McLaren. And I think that's, if McLaren can do another big leap when they get onto the circuits that they really like and maybe an upgrade package and do what they did last year, if they're scoring, you know, getting just the best results they can at the start of the year, they could finish very nicely in the championship.
Certainly could. And the fans gave Oscar a 7. Lando Norris qualified 3rd, started 3rd, finished 5th.
Gone for an 8 out of 10 for Lando Norris. It's a difficult one to grade because I think his qualifying was sensational. I think he did very well to be so far ahead of the non-Red Bull top teams, that he had that little gap between them. But in the race, I don't think it was helped by a bad McLaren strategy, and Ferrari seemed to be better on their tyres, which is a mad thing to say this year, but it is true.
Here we go.
So fifth is almost a disappointing result, which you'd take fifth being a disappointing result because it's good solid points, but it's just a very good drive, but not amazing.
We're on the Agreement Express, because I've also gone for an 8 out of 10 for Lando Norris. I think that McLaren let him down slightly. I'm really unsure as to how Charles Leclerc has beaten him. I know that Ferrari is definitely a bit quicker. I think that is undeniable. But I just feel as though P4 was surely on the cards for Lando. The fact that
they pitted at the same time, didn't they?
On the same time, yeah, the same time as Lando is wild to me, considering they were on completely different strategies. I don't know if
McLaren,
they just got caught
McLaren
out.
Maybe thought they were old Ferrari of old and were going to do a 10-second pit stop or something, or they were steak. But
no,
not this year.
That's not Ferrari this year, mate. They
exactly.
are banging with their pit stops. Because if you think Leclerc did a ridiculous first stint all the way to lap 26, Norris pitted on lap 11 off the mediums, then 15 laps on the hards, and then did another 27 laps on the hards. And you think,
oh, yeah, that's a really odd strategy, actually, like, the more I think about
it. It's a very strange short stint for that first one. Perhaps they were trying to box to jump Leclerc, I don't know. But either or, it didn't work out, and Lando couldn't get close, which was surprising. So 8 out of 10, and the fans gave him an 8 as well. Carlos Sainz qualified 4th, started 4th, finished 3rd. It's a 9 out of 10 from me for Carlos Sainz. I think he was very impressive once again. Delivered in qualifying, out-qualified Charles Leclerc, which is no mean feat. And you've even got Charles Leclerc now questioning himself and having to work on qualifying, which is something he said he's never had to do in his career before. But Carlos is showing that the pace is there, and it helps so much more, especially now with the Ferrari having that drivability, having the ability to go further on the tyres. It puts Carlos in a great position that he can qualify 4th and be right up there. So, yeah, and then also as well to then overcome the big challenge ahead of him after pitting quite late and having to make those overtakes to get back through to P3. I was thoroughly impressed by Carlos, and he's having a great season so far. Apart from obviously the surgery, which I'm sure he'd rather forget, but apart from that, he is a man unleashed since Ferrari let him go.
Yeah, I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Carlos as well. Continued that amazing form to say that he's had that 100% podium because obviously he missed the race. Yeah, he's having such a good start to the season, and he is driving so well. His overtakes were very impressive, very clean. Like he was racing on a track like Suzuka. It's not an easy place to pass, even though we did see quite a few overtakes. But yeah, he just did a brilliant job. Surprising for him to out-qualify Charles Leclerc, even though it was a small gap, but it was a lot of positions. And yeah, another podium for him, a really, really impressive season so far. And yeah, doesn't have a drive next season still, but he will. He must do.
He will. He has to. Otherwise, we are all finished. The fans gave Carlos a 9. Charles Leclerc qualified 8th, started 8th, finished 4th.
I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for Charles Leclerc. His race was very good. His strategy was a good one, but I don't think it was an easy one for him to execute. And I think while it's Ferrari that did the strategy, I think you have to give some credit to Charles Leclerc for being able to do the job, because I did not see it working. At the start, it was kind of like, oh, wow, okay, it's going on. And then as it went through the race, I was like, wow, this is a really good strategy. I can't believe this is actually, going to pay off. And it was, yeah, it was really, really good. But, I can't give him a 9 because he qualified down in 8th. I know it's a small gap to his teammate, but it put him on the back foot for him to need to do that in the first place. And it's another sort of race that he's finished behind Sainz, but still a solid result.
Yeah, I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for Charles. I thought it was a brilliantly executed race. It was all lost in qualifying. 1/10 of a second, that's all it was. But that is what we've said many, many times through this period of Formula One, how close it can be in qualifying, and being on the wrong end of that can completely scupper your race. And that's not something that Charles ever really had to deal with before. He's been on the front row. Can he do anything about it? Starting 8th. Around a track like Suzuka is a really difficult race ahead of him. But he managed to get Hamilton, I think, at the restart, which obviously helped him. And then went massively long in that first stint, and I'm incredibly impressed by how long he went on those mediums for and how he didn't really show all too much tire drop off compared to his competitors around him. I think there was a report going around that he actually showed the least tire wear of anybody. So I think he deserves his plaudits. It can't be any higher than an 8 because he finished behind his teammate, and that was due to qualifying, I would say. But still, I am happy that he finished 4th. That is how far I've fallen as a Charles Leclerc Ferrari fan, that I'm happy with 4th. And the fans gave Charles Leclerc an 8. George Russell qualified 9th, started 9th, finished 7th. So 7 out of 10 for me for George Russell. Showed some good pace. Hamilton even volunteered to let his teammate through, which I don't think I've ever heard in the history of Lewis Hamilton's career, him actually coming over the radio to suggest they swap, not in his favour. I've heard the other way around many times with Bottas and whatnot. But George, I think, had a great race. Didn't actually end up finishing that much further ahead of Hamilton than maybe what we thought at the beginning. Hamilton suggesting that he might have picked up damage at the start, which I didn't see any damage being picked up, and he was convinced because he had massive understeer. But back to George, I liked the overtake aggression on Piastri. I enjoyed it. It's good to watch as a fan rather than DRS overtakes. Obviously got away with it without getting a penalty for that one, and then managed to get Piastri on the last lap, I think it was, or starting the final lap when Oscar made that mistake. So I think it was a good drive from George once again, showing that he's not got a great car, but when you compare him to Lewis Hamilton, if he's anywhere near him, he's having a good season.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for George Russell as well. It was, after qualifying, I was surprised that he was on the back of Hamilton, and it looked like Hamilton would have the better of him this weekend because he did it. Hamilton was so much quicker in qualifying, and then normally Hamilton's the one that's better in the race, but George did a fantastic job. I agree with you in the sense that as a Formula One fan, I loved George Russell's move. I think it was bold, and that's the kind of entertainment value I like to see from a team principal. If I was a team principal at Mercedes, I'd probably be like, that's pretty dumb because he's crashed in the last race right at the end, and it's very risky and came very close to doing the same thing, because I think if he'd taken his front wing off, we'd all be going, oh, you know, George Russell is a bit too... I don't know. It's weird because he's never seemed that kind of driver, but it seemed kind of a crazy lunge and quite risky at the end. But I'm glad we saw it because it was entertaining.
But he got away with it.
He did, but it could have gone horribly wrong. But it didn't, thankfully. So a 7.
Yeah, ifs, buts, and maybes, mate. You know what I'm saying? You've got to deal with absolutes. fans gave George a 7 out of 10. Lewis Hamilton qualified 7th, started 7th, finished 9th.
Gone for a 6 out of 10 for Lewis Hamilton. Wow, is he having a bad start to the season. I cannot believe I heard a radio message of him going, oh, go on, I'll let George through. He didn't say I'm too slow, but like that's what he was implying. And it is bizarre. I don't think for a second that he's giving up. I know people will push that narrative that, oh, he's just ready to join Ferrari and stuff. That's not who he is. He wants to win, and he'll want to get a victory at Mercedes before he goes. But I don't think he will, because, boy, is that car shockingly bad. He's not having a good start to the season at all. Really, really struggling with that car.
Deciding between a 6 and a 7 because he literally finished on the same piece of tarmac pretty much as George Russell at the end and showed some great pace on the mediums, but he finished last of, well, if we're discounting Stroll, last of Formula A. So I'll go for a 6 out of 10 for Lewis Hamilton this time. Savage, love it. I think we've kind of explained it all. He didn't have great pace at the start, but I think showed some good good speed at the end. Of course, Russell kind of got stuck, I would say, behind Alonso and Piastri. So maybe that's where a bit more of that gap came down towards the end. But yeah, just not the races I expect to see from Lewis Hamilton. But he is only human. Let's not forget that as well. I don't think for a second he's giving up, but I'm sure he's wondering what that 2025 Ferrari car is going to be like and how nice it's going to be to drive, especially in qualifying. So yeah, we will have to wait and see how he adores that next year. The fans gave Lewis Hamilton a 6. Sergio Perez qualified second, started second, finished second. It is a 9 out of 10 for me for Checo. Great, great performance this weekend. Exactly what the doctor ordered. Qualified on the front row, so close to getting pole position. Not on Max's level, you know, copy and paste, not on Max's level, but doing the job that Red Bull team want from him. And I'm really happy. I'm really happy to see that from him. I do want to see him also challenge Max, please. If we are going to get Red Bull domination this year again, can we have at least one race where Checo is genuinely on the same pace as Max? But baby steps, tiny steps, can't complain. 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I've gone for a 9 out of 10 as well. Brilliant qualifying, very close to getting pole, like you say. And in the race, yeah, he was away off Max and had to come through the field, but his passes were great to watch. And yeah, another brilliant result from him at the start of the season. It's now going to be fascinating to see if he carries that form on, because, of course, this is exactly what he did last year. Although I guess he won races last year, but do you know what I mean? In terms of, like, doing a very good job. We were saying the very same things that, like, you know, Perez is doing a great job. He just needs to avoid that mid-season slump like he had last year. And if he's doing what he's doing, like we've said many times, absolutely no chance he's going to lose that Red Bull seat if he keeps delivering second place every race.
Exactly. What more can you possibly want? So yeah, the fans gave Perez a 9. And finally, Max Verstappen qualified first, started first, finished first.
It's a 10 out of 10. The Max Verstappen revenge tour happened.
Begins now.
Yeah. How many will he get this time in a row?
How many?
Before Sainz breaks it in 13 races time or whatever it is.
Sainz, yeah.
That's the traditional thing.
I know.
Just brilliant. It's just really good. I've not actually said this for a while.
Everybody's got their bingo card.
No, to be fair.
What more is there to say, really?
To be fair, that was like halfway through last year, and I've actually had a lot to say recently, but this one is just Max being Max. It just makes it look effortless.
It's saucy.
And it is so impressive. It is so impressive. He's got a very good car underneath him, but no one has dominated like this. We've seen cars that are in the past that, you know, second lap quicker, 2 seconds lap quicker than the entire field, and they don't win as many races as Max in a row. His form is unbelievable. It's scary. So, yeah, what more to say? Ding, ding.
There you go. There it is. Tick it off. What more is there to say? Max Verstappen, it's a 10 out of 10 for me as well. Well done, sir. You know, you did everything you needed to do. Congratulations. Great drive. Hardly saw you the whole race. Great. Both starts were brilliant. And then he drove away and had a great time. So congratulations, Max. And that is that. The fans also gave Max a 10 as well. No surprise. Who is our P1? Well, for you, it has to be Max Verstappen. But for me, I give it to Yuki Tsunoda because I'm a big fan. Big fan of Yuki Tsunoda. The only one apparently on this podcast. But yeah, so that's mine and yours, Tommy.
Of course, it's Max. And I will clarify that Max was given an NA based on the vote last week. Although we were so like, should he get an NA or a 10? And because he's got 10 every week, it actually makes no difference. Because because his average will
it's
be
true.
Exactly
it's
the
true.
Same.
It's all on average, isn't it?
So, yeah. There you go.
So even in our
so
ratings,
didn't
he's
matter.
Dominating.
Yeah, he has the
didn't
perfect season so far.
Lovely stuff. Well done, Max. And that is it. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening to these driver ratings for the Japanese Grand Prix. Tommy, what is your finale thoughts?
It is that looking forward to the live shows. We have just been recording some very amusing and fun things, which I enjoyed very much. So a treat for any of you coming to the live show, and you can still...
Cambridge, Bath and London. There you go, Tommy. Love that. Thursday, Friday, Sunday this week. Cambridge on Thursday, Bath on Friday, and London on Sunday. We can't wait. It's going to be so fun. We'll try and get a few snippets for those that can't make it, who are in other countries. But we are trying to do our best to bring the P1 Live Show to other countries as well. So stay tuned for that. And that is it. Thank you, everybody. Have an amazing rest of your week. No Formula One this weekend, but we go to China next week. And that will be fun when we are live on Twitch for the sprint at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
That is going to be absolutely incredible. God, see you soon.
Otherwise, you're having another sprint rant.
Oh, I certainly am. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, and bye from Frank. That was cute. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.